Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, before we get started, I understand that there are some issues with the phone because people are trying to call in, and I think what it is, there are a lot of people on the phone already. It may be too many people on the line, but I'm double-checking, so I can ask for some additional lines, say, so just bear with us. And for those of you in the chat room, we can communicate that way if you have questions or comments until we get the phones freed up. I might, I'm going to ask for some additional space right quick. Okay, I'm sorry. All right, let us begin, as we always do, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, who came to us in the person of Master Farah Muhammad. I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is indeed his messenger. And I further bear witness that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is our divine reminder and our miss. And it is my distinct honor, privilege, and pleasure to greet all of you once again in our nation's greeting words of peace, assalamu alaikum. And we have with us tonight Sister Ruth and Sister Yatira. I have a problem getting in the phone as well. So we do have Sister Layla on the phone with us. And, of course, this is her first time to the show. So let me allow her to come front and center, Sister Soldier, and introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about you, Sister Layla.
Yes, ma'am. I'm like, thanks for having me on. This is my first time on this show, so I'm very humbled and honored to be a guest on your show. I'm Sister Layla from Muhammad, you know, based in Chicago. Mosque number two. I'm a production assistant for the Final Call newspaper, meaning just graphic design and layout. I do actual paper. And I also have a column where I started a Sister Space section in the Final Call, and also Youth Speak, just to give, you know, women and youth a platform to express their feelings, views, commentaries, because, you know, as women, we have a whole wealth of information that not one person just holds, but the whole body of us has something to offer from our experiences, education, and upbringing. So, again, I'm humbled to be here.
Oh, sister, the honor is indeed ours. I know we're supposed to have some other panelists, and they probably can't get in, but until they do, Sister Layla, I guess it's just me and you. We going to rock and roll with this.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I wanted to talk about courtship, and I didn't want to go through the traditional conversation because I think we've all heard that before,
You know,
through the courtship
right.
manual or whatever. But I want to get down to some things, some scenarios and some issues that we often face in courtship. We all know what we should do, but sometimes
right.
situations change and we just really can't or either there's no documentation in how to deal with those things. And
right.
I just want to ask you in your personal opinion, as you look across our nation, in your personal opinion, do we really understand courtship?
You know, I honestly don't think we do. Even from a personal experience, me having been through the process a couple of times and have been married, I think I was married, you know, fairly young, like early 20s, and, you know, now 30-something years old now, so now I have the unadulterated, non-diluted, non-homogenized view of, okay, let's deal with each other for real. Let's all, you know, just not be these textbook Muslims and, you know, like you said, the way things are supposed to be. We all understand that, but that's the, you know, that's the theory behind it. But when you get into situations, now you have to apply that theory and have that practical application. So as a 20-something-year-old, I didn't understand any of courtship. I'm like, okay, well, this is what I'm looking for. He has these qualities. Let's do this. But there's so much more that people experience, life experiences bring to them. So I wasn't equipped or prepared for any of the things I went into marriage with. I wasn't prepared to be a 20-something-year-old stepmother or deal with an ex-wife that was an MGT or know, deal with the, you know, the idiosyncrasies of just this black man in America and deal with issues in myself from my upbringing or even the fact that two complete opposite beings are trying to become one, and, you know, but we're just going about it from the textbook way. It's like, okay, I'm MDT, I have my roles. You're FY, you have your roles. So everything should be harmoniously blending. But, you know, in real life, we're in this world, but not of it. But we have to really honestly take a step back, look at ourselves, and be like, okay, who is Layla Muhammad right now? Not that potential, because, you know, I'm not marrying potential anymore. I need to see the person that's in front of me now and be honest with myself and honest with him, like, okay, this is my issues, these are my plus, my strengths, and not try to, you know, fake the funk.
Right. And so, you know, I really think that courtship is really more personalized, individual to individual, couple to couple. And
right.
I think our biggest downfall, in my personal opinion, of course I want your personal opinion as well, is I think that we either forget or we don't know that courtship is exactly what my father said it was as he was teaching my brothers. He said that it's a period of time for examination and observation,
yeah,
in order for you to make a determination. And
yeah,
I think that we, you know, we think we have a boyfriend, you know, as,
right,
you know, as they do in the Lost Found world. You know, we think we have a boyfriend, and we start saying, I'm in courtship, meaning that this is my significant other, this is my man, you know.
Right.
We start claiming people,
yes,
you know. And so, you know, I just want to tell my sisters that, you know, that is not what it is. And
right.
I want to ask you your opinion about that, and I want to ask you what is the best way to examine, because you can observe anybody. You can watch them. You can see if they come to the mosque. You can see if they push papers. You can see if they pay charity. So that's an observation. That's something you can see. But what is
right.
the best way to examine someone and not get emotionally involved?
Right. That's a great question. And you're right. I hear a lot of that, and I speak to a lot of women and sisters throughout this nation, and a lot of us have that, you know, that mentality coming out the world that this is my boyfriend. We're talking, we're going out, so we still bring that worldly mentality into it, like, oh, he's mine, you know, but we don't understand, like you said, the way our father taught us, this is the courtship, that examination, but we're still, some of us are lonely, we long for that spouse, and so we just jump, you know, head in, and we, like you said, take it on like it's a actual relationship. But like you said, the best way to examine a person's, like they, like we always say, going to court, like you're taking someone to court. Okay, you know, some trials are long and drawn out, some are short, but you still are presenting the facts, you're pleading your case, you're making a, you know, conscious decision, and you're weighing evidence. And if, you know, sometimes you have to go back to the, you know, the jury room and, you know, look at the evidence again and represent it in. You know, so we have to really take a non-emotional stance to it, not be robotic and be like, oh, you know, just having no feelings at all. But I'm so glad the minister put us on this study guide 18, the rising above emotion, into the thinking of God, because in it he explains to us how we should handle our emotions. And yes, as women, we like to be wooed. We like to be, you know, giving gifts or taking the dinners. And, you know, we're emotional beings, so we just attach and just, you know, just lunge fully in without even being fully prepared from day one, day two, week one. We're like, oh, you know, we're planning a wedding, and a brother barely hasn't even, you know, met our mother. And so we just get so attached from this thing called emotions that we don't think logically, but, you know, we have to examine. We have to, you know, ask the right questions and not be afraid of the answers. I was recently, a brother recently approached me, and I'm like, I have to do a sifting process. Okay, brother, you know, okay, you have five children. You have this, okay, no, I know Layla right now, you know, certain things that I'm not equipped to handle. So I don't want to waste your time, don't waste my time, but, you know, old me would have been like, you know, I've been single for a couple of years, so maybe, and that's when we run into problems, when we don't hear that voice within and we don't follow that, and we try to compromise ourselves and we don't do the examination.
Yes, ma'am, absolutely. And let me check one second. Sister Yatira, are you there?
Yes, ma'am, I'm here. I'm from Lakeland Family.
Lake of Salam, ma'am. I'm glad you could join us. And if you tried to call in, of course, the lines are jammed. So I requested some more lines. So
yes, ma'am. Brother Frank is trying to call in, and he just said he can't get through.
Okay. If he has his computer, he might have to go online until they get some more lines. Because usually, you know, this always happens when we have relationship shows. And I think everybody beat me calling in tonight. So I could just tell people, I already put it on Facebook, that they can just go online, you know, and try to listen. And if not, they can listen later, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately. So, Sister Yatira, I was talking to Sister Layla about the best way to keep our emotions intact during the examination period of courtship, because a lot of us get the impression that courtship, that we actually have this relationship, we have our man, this is our boyfriend, our significant other, our future husband. So how do we, since you are, you're engaged now, so you're just coming out of the courtship, going to the second phase. So how do you keep your emotions intact, Sister Yatira, when you're just making that observation and examination?
Yes, ma'am. Please first let me open it up properly. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness there is no God but Allah, who appeared in the person of the Master Prophet Muhammad. And I further bear witness that the most honorable Elijah Muhammad is his exalted Christ, and the honorable minister Louis Farrakhan is our divine reminder and grace amongst us today. And again, I'd like to greet the listeners, the believing audience, again in the greeting words of peace of Assalamu Alaikum. Thank you. For me personally, just because I've been in, you know, relationships where I know how they go. If you're not thinking from a logical standpoint, or if your vision is not clear, I think that for me, it's just knowing my worth and knowing that, you know, I deserve nothing but the best. So because I have that mindset, it's easier for, you know, it's easier for me to have the mindset of I'm looking to see who can be my mate forever. You know, I'm willing to be your forever. You know, I'm willing to be in the same stick and sin, but I need to really see what qualities you're bringing to the table. I really, you know, again, it's off of the principles of, you know, my beliefs, and divorce, not even a vocabulary word, separation, not even a vocabulary word, you know, going in with that mindset. So it's so serious that I'm looking for the details, I'm looking for the big, you know, I'm looking for, you know, my forever partner. So with that mindset of this is forever, I know my value, it's you know, it's almost second nature to just be like, you know, this is something that I can't deal with. You know, you said this, it doesn't work for me, or, you know, I'm liking what I'm hearing, you know, the, it's almost like we do natural tests. You know, women, we naturally examine, you know, the man. So, you know, you may not even be necessarily trying to pass out a test for the brother, but when a certain situation arises or a conversation, and then it's kind of like, well, let me see how he plays this out, or let me see if what he says matches up here. But it's, for me, it's just the mindset that I have going into it, you know, knowing what I'm looking to get out of it, knowing that I'm serious, knowing what it means to me. So, you know, the emotions, especially if, you know, if you go about the courtship process in the correct manner, you know, it makes it that much easier. Always, you know, keeping Allah first, praying to Allah, you know, asking Him for His guidance and making things clear, you know, it's just second nature when you have your principles and your beliefs established and, you know, you go in it in that manner. And I hope I answered the question, Queen.
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. And one question that you didn't get to answer, Sister Yatira, is when we first thought I asked Sister Layla, as you look across our nation, do you think that we honestly understand courtship?
Do we honestly understand courtship?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. It's kind of like a two-way street, you know. I can't decipher if it's the masses of us who don't or do, or perhaps maybe because there's not a lot of marriages going on that maybe it is the masses. But what I can say is, you know, maybe that is something that plays a role, because some of us may take courting almost as it's dating. You know, I just want somebody to talk to, or we don't know the seriousness that courtship leads to marriage. So, you know, I'm interested. He asked me for papers. I don't really care. Now I can talk to him on the phone. Or, we may not know or fully understand that, you know, the courtship process isn't a fall in love thing. Not that it's not going to happen or it can't happen, but when we go into this thing just, you know, googly eyes over each other, then, you know, that kind of defeats the purpose. We're not trying to start a courtship. Oh, you know, I think you're cute. And I mean, you know, things like that is people are going to feel that way. Obviously, we want to be attracted to our courtmates, but, you know, the point of courtship is, you know, it's the premise of court. You know, you come in, bring your facts, I'll bring mine. You know, you prove yourself, I prove mine, or are we compatible? It's almost like a compatibility test. So if you were to take a compatibility test, you know, you're not answering it trying to trick someone, or, you know, you're answering it for yourself. You're just being truthful. This is me. This is you. Do we match? Can we go to the next step of, you know, marriage, engagement, marriage, and ultimately becoming one with Allah? So, you know, it's hard to say if we, you know, what percentage knows and what percentage doesn't, but, you know, I do believe that a lot of us don't fully understand, you know, the whole premise and idea of courtship.
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. Okay, the next thing I want to talk about is what I often hear about with my sisters, and many of you know that I'm a marriage counselor and I'm a counselor, a therapist, whatever you want to call it. And what I hear is too much too soon. And again, talking about the emotional aspect of it, but, you know, how can I put it? Too much presentation of self, just giving up too much information. And sometimes you can give up so much information that you really destroy the courtship before it even begins. So, Sister Layla, what's your opinion on that? How much is too much and too soon?
Yes, I absolutely agree, and that's a great question, because I do observe that, you know, we as sisters do that. We come and we think that spouse is our counselor, our therapist, and we give everything from the day we were born up until now, up into, you know, present relationship, past relationships, and it's like it's we're dumping all of our baggage on a person, and they don't have time to sift through it all and make a, you know, conscious decision. It's like you said, sometimes it can be destroyed because you've given up too much without getting anything in return. And so in court, you don't incriminate yourself in a sense. I'm not saying hide anything. You don't just divulge all this information to the other party. It's a discovery method in some things, and if certain situations arise, then yes, you talk about, you know, your experience, your past, but we just go in, like I said earlier, from day one, we're planning weddings, we're picking out cakes, we're calling up the sisters to be our bridesmaids, and the brother hasn't even, you know, asked you to marry them, and we just, it's, the courtships fail a lot of time as women because of our own undoing, because, like you said, revealing too much, giving up too much, giving in too much. We, some of us, you know, give gifts as women. We give brothers money. We do things in order to try to keep or give too much in order to try to keep this relationship. And it's like a, and you know, again, like you said, it's like a dating thing. So we just give of ourselves too much.
Yes, ma'am, I agree. And Sister Yatia?
Yes, ma'am, I have to, you know, agree with what my sister said. There's not much I can add on. You know, it's just that. We give too much of ourselves, and, you know, it doesn't have to necessarily just be the sisters, but the brother, you know, could, where we get to a point where we're really anxious, so, you know, we're staying and doing whatever, or if I'm your wife, you know, this is what I would do, or, you know, and vice versa and things like that, instead of it being, you know, strictly on, you know, who I am as a person, or, you know, my strong qualities. And, you know, in the courtship manual, it talks about, you know, the questions that we should ask. You know, we should go over background, you know, your family history, or the diseases in our family. You know, there's things that the messenger guides us to asking. But, you know, just to sit and give of ourselves, whether it be in conversation or whether it be, you know, I'm cooking for you all the time, you know, things that we should not be doing, you know, there's a line that needs to be drawn. But sometimes we get to the point where we're so desperate, or we just, you know, I like him. He asked me into courtship. So, you know, this is one shot. I got to get it right. I got to get him right now. Or, you know, we don't. I think it all falls, a lot of it falls under, you know, valuing ourselves, because when we value ourselves, we're not, our trust and our faith is in Allah. So we're not going to be rushing to make this thing happen. I'm not trying to force myself on anyone. This is me. This is me to the table. You bring you to the table. You know, I'm asking Allah to guide us along, let us reveal the things that we need to reveal. So, you know, we get married, and there was something about you that I wish I would have knew, because I probably wouldn't have married you if I knew these things. So, you know, deal breaker things need to be talked about and stuff like that. But to just say things, or if you know a brother is interested in this thing, so you try to overdo that to, you know, it's not a trick. Courting is not a technology thing. It's not, I'm trying to trick you to think that I'm the one for you. No, I mean, we want to be with the person who is right for us as well. So, it's just not giving too much or so much of ourselves where we're trying to convince someone why you should choose me or why you should be with me. It's, this is who I am. You know, either we're compatible or we're not, you know.
Right. Yes, ma'am, absolutely. And, you know, I don't want anyone to misunderstand, excuse me, and not present them their true selves, you know, because we also have a tendency to put on airs. You know, everybody in courtship is on their best behavior. You know, you have a brothers have sisters thinking that they God's gift to women, you know, because they just such a excellent FOI, and they're so perfect in courtship. And then either the next day or a week later, you know, after all the marital bliss is over, then you have this stranger that you're living with. And I've heard brothers express the same thing. You know, if you have, you know, I married this sister, you know, she was like this in courtship, and then, you know, 3 days after we got married, you know, I don't even know who this is that I'm married to. And so we have to be honest with ourselves, and I think that begins with knowing ourselves, knowing what we want.
because so many of us are in love with the wedding.
Right.
We're in love with the idea of marriage. But then when it comes down to it, sharing our faith, you know, are we patient? Are we willing to compromise? You know, are we willing to listen? Have we gotten out of that mode of I and start thinking about us and we and ours? And so, you know, those things we have to kind of condition our minds to do as we go into courtship, as we think that we are qualified to go into courtship. It does not begin when the courtship begins, but that mindset has to be there when you say, I'm ready and I'm qualified for courtship. So what's your opinion on that, Sister Yatira?
I mean, please, I can't go after you. I agree.
You know, I want your opinion because, you know, well, I ain't gonna say. I've been in courtship recently, but it is what it is. It is what it is. But I said that because even as old as I am, I didn't realize that I had not considered sharing my time and my space.
Right.
And it wasn't until I was really off into the courtship that I realized that, you know what, this is time consuming.
Right.
You know, a marriage, a relationship, I have, just keeping it 100. It's time
right.
consuming. And, you know, with everything that I do, you know, and I do a lot of things, with everything that I do, and I want my sisters to consider this, you know, how can I put it? Our brothers are just as valuable and just as precious as we are. They are actually the backbone of our nation. So just like you are a gift to a man is a gift to us. A brother is a gift to us. He deserves the very best, just like you deserve the very best. And so I had to sit back and evaluate that, you know what, I can't give this brother the best of me because
right.
I'm so committed to other things. And it would not do him justice to marry me and for me to be a neglectful wife and, you know, try to make all these excuses for why I don't have time. And, you know, I just had to keep it real. And, you know,
right.
I think that's, when we get into the idea of I want to be a wife, do we really consider that? And Sister Yatira, I'm coming to you because evidently Brother Frank, he's on the phone. I called him in. Brother Frank is on the phone. And you got to the point where when he proposed, you said yes. And so evidently, how did you know, at what point did you know you were ready to consider sharing your life with somebody else and not just caught up in the fantasy of marriage, but actually ready to go forth with the step of marriage?
Yes, ma'am. Wow. Well, I guess I'll have to say, I mean, I knew I was ready when I entered, you know, before I entered courtship. You know, I was talking with the law, and when I knew, you know, mentally that I was ready to court, well, more so, okay, so I'm ready to court, now we're courting. But it didn't hit me until, I know one day we were on the phone, and this is something that we have to discuss. It was always my day is busy, and I would get to him sometimes, you know, after work when I'm coming home, then I would call him, I got some downtime. You know, it was kind of like a in the beginning, we talked all the time. I mean, we still talk all the time, but it was like, text throughout the day, and I'll call you later when I'm just not doing anything. But, you know, when he brought it up to me, I had to realize, you know, I'm really getting ready to be his wife. So I have to get in the mindset. It's not a, okay, I'm going to get married on the 26th. Now, all of a sudden, I'm just going to be in wife mode. I have to be considerate after, you know, he brought things to me that, you know, there's certain things that I have to start preparing to do right now. And, you know, my little sister was just talking to me today about that, you know, how I don't spend as much time with her as I used to, you know, especially with the both of us working, we don't get the full time that him and I used to have all the time. So I was explaining to her that, you know, I'm getting ready to be a wife. You know, I gave her some, we were talking about the Bible and how, you know, we're talking about when a husband and wife come together, you know, they become as one. And I just explained to her what I just said about, you know, it's not something where I'm just going to marry him and now I'm just an automatic perfect wife. I know how to do things. There's certain things that I have to prepare for right now mentally on, okay, I really am getting ready to be a wife. There's times where I'm not going to want to get up and do X, Y, and Z, but this is a commitment that I made to this man. You know, he's at work, and I have to get up and do X, Y, and Z. So I think really being engaged has really made it that much more real to me. You know, I know duties of a wife, but it's like until you're actually faced with something is when you actually, you know, see how you respond. So now that I'm actually engaged and our wedding is right around the corner, I'm really getting ready to have a whole new different lifestyle. It's like, all right, I have to wake up to the realities of what that really means. And it's no longer what your tier is just doing. You know, what's your tier just doing here, 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 and here? It's, I have another person to consider, and it's not about me being selfish. I have to give of myself, not in an unselfish way. So I think, you know, when was really that hit me again was the engagement. Yeah. And, you know, in conversations that we had even in courtship, but it's really in my face now that I'm getting ready to be a wife. And in order for us to work, I have to put in work, you know, and I have to give up myself, of my time, you know, and make those sacrifices, you know, because I do love him. And I want him to be happy just as much as I want to be happy. So, you know, it's just a, you know, a balancing of things, and wow, it's beautiful, but I think that sums it up.
Okay. All right. Okay, she got all mushy. That's okay. And Sister Layla, let me ask you, now you're not married, right?
No, I've been divorced for a few years.
Okay. So as you may pursue courtship in the future, what are some of the things that you're thinking about in preparation for courtship to make sure that you as an MGT are qualified for courtship prior to actually going into it?
Yes, ma'am. It's kind of like what you and Sophia Tira said, like, even knowing the textbook definition of what MGT do, like, I can sew, I can cook, I can clean, all that. Like you said earlier, I look at myself like, wait a minute, am I really ready to share my space? Am I marriage, having been married before for a few years, I'm like, marriage is a lot of work. You literally have to work at it every single day. And I think going into it the first time, like you talk about that honeymoon, that after a few days it's like, okay, this is the reality. This, we're really married. These are your roles. These are mine. So now in hindsight, which is always 2020, I'm like, oh, okay. I'm working on myself to be that MGT. Okay, am I really ready for another blended family? I have children, so I would like someone who has children. And so that blended family is a whole nother difficult aspect in marriage. So I'm working on that. I'm working on my patience. I'm working on, you know, okay, sometimes I don't cook every day. Sometimes, you Tira said, sometimes I'll call you when I was in courtship. I'll call you when I'm not busy. I work at the final call. I'm there to midnight sometimes. And, you know, you're the last thing on my mind, but you have to be so unselfish and just take a minute out your day and send a text message like, oh, hey, you know, how's your day? How's it going? But at this point, I'm really working on my patience. And like you said, like, we're worth so much. And as women, we really don't appreciate and understand our value and really, really embrace the fact that, yes, I'm the prize. I can be patient. I'm not going to rush into something because I'm lonely or I'm getting older and my biological clock is ticking. So what I'm doing in preparation is really just honestly studying more, studying Layla more, studying what ticks me off. What, you know, sometimes I wake up on the wrong side of the bed, don't feel like being bothered. Sometimes, you know, all you're going to have to eat for that week is bean soup. So it's just certain things I'm honest with myself about that I'm just working on, some of my idiosyncrasies I'm working on, that I'm trying to figure me out before I add somebody else in another family into my whole mix. I'm trying to, you know, being a single mother, just juggling, you know, work and school and all the other stuff we juggle as women and bringing a whole nother mix into it. You literally have to be so well prepared and equipped, because as we know, brothers are still like, okay, yes, I understand all you have to do, but, you know, I'm hungry. I need my dinner. I need some of this. I need some, you know, quality time. And we have to learn how to balance all of that. And so that's what I'm learning, how to juggle my balls in the air right now before I can take on something else.
Yes, ma'am, absolutely. Let me ask a question, like, quick.
Mm-hmm.
How can I put this delicately? Okay, so how do you know, Sister Yatira, when a brother is really looking for a wife in every sense of the word? Versus just looking. And the reason why I ask that is because I'm trying to figure out how to word this. I guess I should have did this prior to showtime. But it has been my experience just in conversating with brothers, just, you know, just talking to them. You know, a lot of them talk about marriage and relationships and courtship and things of that nature, but then, you know, here comes this weird conversation that comes up, and you kind of know, hey, you know, this brother really doesn't want courtship. So I just want to know, have anyone else besides me experienced that?
Okay. Well,
in other words, maybe the brother don't have really the best intentions. So how do you decipher what could have been just a bad comment versus somebody who's just really full of it?
Okay, yes, ma'am. I think that it's all in, I mean, okay, in the conversation and how the conversation is approached, I mean, there's a lot of different factors. Okay, a brother that just kind of, this is kind of hard to answer. I mean, I really think it's in the conversation, for one. If a brother is really genuine and sincere, I feel like he's gonna come with the right kind of dialogue. So it won't just be frivolous conversation, you know, what's up, how you doing? You know, this is basic everyday talk versus I'm really trying to get into your mind. You know, I'm really trying to see who you are, where the questions start off with the teachings, but, you know, they continue with the teachings. Or when you get into who I am, the conversation I just think fakeness, you can't use that but for so long. you know, the fog eventually clears, and then it's like, okay, you can see what it is. At some point, and I think me personally, I can see through things kind of easily just because of the environments that I have been in, the people that I've dealt with in my life, things that I've seen. It's kind of easy to read certain people. You know, if a brother just inboxes you and he's just like, you know, what's up, or the conversation, like I said, is just frivolous conversation, just pastime talk, or even if he starts off in a way where it's like, you know, let's talk about the teaching, but then he tries to throw in a, well, let's talk on the phone about the teachings, and it's like certain things do not, your intention, you're going to try to go about it the right way. I just believe that you can only wear a mask for a certain amount of time. You can only hold a facade for a certain amount of time before you could see through the fog. And, I mean, some people might be quicker than others, but I'm not trying to boast or anything. I just feel like I can, you know, I can pick up on those things rather quickly. So, again, if a brother is genuinely asking, you know, if he's talking about courting and you're courting, is this a question where you are courting them in the courtship? How do you decipher, or is it just a conversation before courting?
Yeah, I mean, you know, just, okay, let me give you an example. You know how you go through the process. The brother asks for you, you know, go through your casting. Okay, you've done all that. You put in the paperwork. You know, you've done all that. And then in the conversation, it's something like this. You know, I really want to spend some time with you. But, you know, I really don't want to be escorted out. You know, I don't want us to have an escort. Or you live alone, he live alone, you get an invitation to his house, or he wants to invite himself to your house. I'm saying things like that I've seen brothers manipulate conversations, manipulate sisters with conversations, and make it appear as though it is so innocent when they know that they're going against the rules. You know, they're going against the law when they do that. And so, right. You know, it's things like that, as I gave an example, that I was trying to inform the sisters that there are certain things that even though you're in a courtship, it doesn't mean that it's acceptable. Those are the type of things that I'm talking about.
Yes, ma'am. And I think that structure, you know, when we know our way, so, you know, things like we don't hold hands, but whenever we're out, we're like, you know, I should be able to do this because, you know, we talked about marriage, or things where we know our structure, we know what we should and shouldn't do. And like you stated, you know, if insinuations of, you know, let's trying to talk about things that, you know, we should be talking about, or, you know, inappropriate conversation, or making subtle hints, or just, you know, you wouldn't do certain things based off of our structure. So I'm trying to think of an example. That was a good example you just, you know, maybe we don't, just saying things like that, you know, why do we gotta have a chaperone? I mean, we grown, or saying things that
exactly.
Is against what we do, and trying to make it seem like, trying to justify and convince the sister almost that, you know, we can do this and we can do that, or, you know, we talked about marriage, so, you know, we should be able to move to the next level of here, and, you know, I'm trying to woo her by buying gifts or giving her money, when in the courtship process we don't do that kind of stuff, because it's not about, you know, recording still. You're still bringing the facts. I'm still bringing the facts. So you don't pay for me. You don't give me money. You don't buy me gifts. You don't try to make me do whatever it is that you know, think I'm going to do with X, Y, and Z. So, you know, I can't really think of too many other examples, so I'm going to pass the mic.
Well, maybe Sister Layla can give us some examples, and then we are blessed that Sister Ruth has joined us. So we're going to go to Sister Layla, And then we're going to hear from Queen Ruth Muhammad in just a second. Come on, Sister Layla, give us some examples
ma'am.
Of what to look for.
And like you both said, it really is in the conversation and language, and it goes back to what you were saying about the examination, because even before you accept that question, you're examining a brother. You're watching a brother. I'm like the Mossad when any brother's interested in me. I'm having my friend observe him. I'm seeing how he is at the mosque. I'm seeing how he is talking to the older sisters and everything. So it's already that discernment that I have with people that I'm like, okay, you can already know, you know, that, okay, if a brother steps to you this way or what type of character he is or whatever. But the examples is basically what you both said, like the conversation, the, oh, we don't need chaperones, or, you know, let me buy you this or let me do this, anything really going outside the norm or anything that doesn't really feel right in your soul or spirit. It's like, you know, it's suspect, so you should just go with that, you know, that God spirit, that first spirit and first mind, and, like, check them right there. And any decent brother will, you know, submit them, like, you know, yes, sister, I apologize. But, you know, some people keep trying to come in and come through the back door and using that slick language. But the question is, can the devil fool a Muslim?
I'm out,
Drew.
Not
exactly.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, allow me to present my dear beloved sister all the way from College Park, Georgia, who is the wife of our beloved brother, student minister, Stanley Muhammad, Sister Ruth Muhammad. She needs no introduction, so I'm just simply presenting her. Assalamu alaikum, Queen.
Wa alaikum salam, ma'am.
How are you, my dear sister? Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, and my husband is here as well. We just got
him on speakerphone?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Assalamualaikum, Sister Queen.
Wa alaikum salam, dear Brother Stanley. How are you, sir?
Sister, you know I thank Allah for life, and how are you?
I'm blessed by Allah's grace and permission up here with my wonderful sister, Sister Yatira and Sister Layla. And we putting it down. We going a little bit past the courtship manual and getting down to the nitty gritty of things.
I heard you got some powerful sisters on the panel. I heard some wonderful jewels they was dropping.
Crazy.
Yes, sir. And we gonna go to your jewel, Sister Ruth. And Sister Ruth, we were asking, you know, what are some of the things to look for to make a determination when the courtship may not really be what he really intends? And when I mean the courtship by the rule, by the law. What are some of the things that may be said that gives you a red flag that maybe he doesn't have the best intention?
You know, the way, you know, I see it, and as we're taught by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, is that the strongest attraction in the universe is between male and female. And he said that for a reason. I mean, you know, the strongest attraction, that means that that woman and that man, they have an attraction so strong that nothing in the universe is stronger than that. So when you know that, and I remember when I was growing up, we used to watch a cartoon called G.I. Joe. And at the end of the cartoon, every time he would win the battle, he would say, knowing is half the battle. So knowing what we've been taught is we have won half of the battle. So I think that when we see, when we know that the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us right and exact, and nothing that he said to us is not true, then you're going to abide by those rules. That means that every time you're in a courtship, you know, date, that means you have a chaperone. And if that brother says, no, we don't have to have a chaperone, then you know that's a problem. You know, if that sister said, well, you know, we don't have to have a chaperone, you know, we're not going to do nothing, that's the problem, you know. So I think we'll end up wrong, you know. So when you have something, and I mean a lot, you know, we always see signs when something is not, anytime you're going contrary to the law of God, there's going to be a problem, you know. And if we don't abide by the law of God, then it's not going to work, you know. And that's what we as the people of God have to realize and recognize, that if we don't do it Allah's way, it's not going to work out. So when you see something that's going astray, then you have to, if you can't put it back in line, then you have to get assistance to put it back in line, you know. And that's what I see, Sister Queen Aziza, is that sometimes when we see things, laws being broken, rules being broken, then we act like we, you know, we don't see it. You know what I'm saying?
Yes,
so I think that it, when we allow that to happen, then it turns into, you know, something bigger and bigger, and before you know it, you know, and then the sister gets, you know, she gets caught up with a brother that, you know, she's seen the sign, but she wanted to ignore the sign, because sometimes we allow that natural attraction, and already being single for years, you know, that being an addict on there, you know, allow us to not see the reality, you know what I'm saying? So, but if we just, you know, become Allah's woman, like the Bible says, make God your husband, you know? So that means focus on making God your man. And once you focus on making him your man, then Allah will send you the right man, you know, to take care of vineyard. He will send you a righteous husbandman to take care of that vineyard, you know, because when you don't have a good husbandman, then what he do? He kills the vineyard. But when he has a righteous man taking care of it, then he produces good fruit. So that's what we need. So we need to become God's woman. So once we become God's woman, then we can really judge our courtship in the best of manners.
Yes, ma'am. And you know, Sister Ruth, before you got here, I asked the question of Sophia Tira and Sister Layla, and of course, you being married, it's going to be 24 years in a few days. So I want to ask you, you know, what is your best advice of how to keep the sisters, how the sisters can keep their emotions intact when they're in a courtship? Because we were saying earlier that a courtship is not a relationship. He's not your man. It's not your boyfriend. This is just
right.
a person that of interest that you're making an examination and observation of. But oftentimes, our sisters in particularly, and not to say that the brothers don't, but our sisters in particularly always get emotionally involved. And you know, they act like it's second nature, but I think it's the lack of understanding of what courtship really is. But how can you keep that intact? How can you just not shut off the emotions, but just know that it's not a period of time to get emotionally involved?
And it goes back to what I said, is having that relationship with Allah, knowing that he is first in your life. Knowing that you're not going to allow no man to take you off your path. You know what I'm saying? Whether it's emotionally, physically, you know, whatever. When you make Allah first, you don't see no one but him. If they don't look like him, then you're not going to get attached to that person. You know, and the thing about it is that it's our nature as women to be chaste, not to chase, you know. So when you're the one being chased, you're not going to attach your emotions to no one. You see, it's your nature to be chased and to make that man work for what you are value. You are a valuable, the woman, the black woman is so precious to God. She has no, I mean, her value exceeds whatever's in the universe. So when you see yourself as, when you value yourself, then you don't attach to no man that has not made a commitment or showed, you know, worth, paid a price. See, he got to pay a price. That's when you know your value. When you know your value, then you don't let no man, you know, put no small stuff on you. You don't get emotional with him. You don't get attached to him. No, you get attached to Allah, and you let Allah guide, you know, we let Allah guide us to the right one, you know. So that's what I would say is that it's our connection with Allah, Sister Queen, is that, you know, it shows when we attach ourselves to a man that's not respect, you know, that is playing, devaluing us, you know, that's our connect, it shows our connection to him.
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, I promised questions, and I think the phone lines are, we got some more lines open, I believe. So I know that we have some questions in the chat room, but I'm going to go to Brother Kareem, because I think you had a question first. So, assalamu alaikum, Brother Kareem, and you have a question for the MGT tonight.
Yes, ma'am. Wa alaikum salam. And first and foremost, in the name of Allah, I just want to say you all are doing a fantastic job. I'm just totally impressed. That's first and foremost. The question I have, you know, may be a little delicate, but the bottom line is this is my question. When a brother has shown himself worthy, all the things that Sister Ruth just talked about, the things that you all have placed on the table, when a brother has shown himself worthy, when he's shown himself respectful, when he's shown he knows the value and he's paid the price and continues to pay the price. However, the sister, in essence, I'm just going to say it, I mean, plain language, is playing games. What's the next step?
Okay, let me see. Sister Layla, let me hear from Sister Layla right quick.
Yes, sir, Brother Kareem. Like I was saying earlier, when we're in courtship, we're taking each other court. You're proving your case, she's proving hers, and when the evidence is on a table, the only thing left is to make a decision. So obviously, if you prove your case and hers is weak and faulty, then the only decision is, you know, just to retreat, and you can't, like the saying you say, you just can't make someone into what you want them to. If they're not into it as much as you're into it, then, you know, I personally, you know, would back off, because if you're doing all those things and she's still not, you know, seeing the value of it, then she's obviously, you know, may not be the one for you. Brother Nuri said there's a difference between compatibility and complement each other. You may have all those things in common. You may be doing all that, but she just might just not be the one for you. And I would just basically retreat.
Okay. Sister Yatira, you have an answer for Brother Kareem?
Yes, ma'am. I'll make Brother Kareem.
Wa alaikum salam. 16 days. Come on now.
Hey, people, and counting. Well, like what my sister said, I agree, and also what said earlier right now, what she said earlier was, you know, just as valuable as we are, as, you know, sisters, our brothers is just as valuable. So if he's, you know, showing that he understands her worth and, you know, she deserves the best, and he, you know, he has proved himself, deemed himself worthy, then, you know, she should reciprocate that same emotion, or the same effect should be towards the brother. So like my sister just said, it's decision making time. The flag is there, the signs is there. So if he wants to still pursue that, can't expect a change overnight just because you got married. She's showing her colors. She's saying, you know, this is how I view you. You're going to chase me. I'm going to let you chase me, but, you know, I'm too good. Or whatever the thought is, but the brother has to know his worth. It's beautiful he knows her worth, but she has to know his as well, and it should be an equal balance of completion. You know, it's not a, you know, we're both giving 100% in this relationship, not, you know, I'm coming 75 and you coming 25, or I'm coming 100 and you meet me 25. It doesn't work like that. So, you know, that's my little 2 cents.
All right. And we're going to hear from Sister Ruth on Brother Kareem's question.
Sister Ruth?
Yes, ma'am. And Brother Kareem, I apologize, but maybe I misunderstand the question. Can you ask that question again, please, sir?
Certainly. Very plainly and simply. The bottom line is, when, not if, I shouldn't say if, when the brother has shown that he knows the value of the woman and he's putting forth the effort, all right, and he's putting in the work. Okay, he's gone above and beyond the call of duty. Let me be clear. All right. And then the sister is playing games. I mean, that's the only language I can use because that's how I see it. Okay. Then, you know, how is that handled? I mean, you know, what would be your view on that? I mean, and we're not talking about 90 days. Okay. We're talking about something that has gone on back and forth over a long period of time, okay? And the sister knowing how the brother feels will come in and when they need something, okay, then they pull the string, okay? And like I said, I'm not putting blame anywhere, but they pull the string, and then once they've accomplished what they need to accomplish, okay, then you leaving the brother out there high and dry. I hope that makes it much more clear.
Yes, sir. And I mean, and you know, I still have a question in my mind because you say she's playing games. You know,
mm-hmm.
And courtship is serious. You know, and we don't allow no one to play games in courtship. You know, and when you say playing games, I don't understand, you know, what you mean by she's playing games. You know, does she tell you, I mean, maybe you can give me an example of how she's playing games so I can best understand, you know, what she's doing or, you know, how you perceive it. That's what would be my next question.
That would be your next question. Perfect example. All right. So I mean, because I opened this door, I have no problem with that. Perfect example. I do construction as one of many things that I do. There's property, and this property has to be rented out. So when this property is rented out and rented out to the wrong people, it gets destroyed. Then it has to be renovated again. Okay. So up until that point, there is no contact. There is no contact. But when this happens, then all of a sudden, it's assalamu alaikum, brother this, brother that, brother this, brother that. Okay, and the implication is made that, okay, we're going to move forward. Now, after the work is done, or as soon as the work is getting close to being completed, then all of a sudden, there's this distance. And then after it's completed, then, you know, nothing. So, I mean, I do understand, and I accept what I think Sister Layla said, I mean, like you said, it is for a decision. But however, I'm asking for the view of the MGT, you know. And
yes,
so that would be the best example I can give you.
Well, if it's a business, you know, partner, then you know that's not a good business partner, you know, because it's, you know, as soon as the job is completed or close to completion, there's no communication. That means that, you know, who's going to get paid, you know, all that. So that means that's, you know, poor communication, you know, insincerity, and which is really not a good courtship, you know, because right there Allah is showing you signs that that's not a person that is trustworthy, you know. And then you have to see it as that, do you want to be involved with this person, you know, for the rest of your life that is not sincere, you know. So that's how I see it, you know, is that, I mean, Allah always gives us signs, you know, and you see the signs. There's reasons why they're signs, because he's telling you the what direction to go, you know. But if you don't want to follow, you know, Allah's direction, then, you know, that's when we get caught up in our own, you know, mess, and then, you know, we have to fix it, and then we got to pay a harder price to fix it when we could avoid it, you know. So I would say, brother, that if that's, you know, happening in a courtship, then, you know, that's a courtship that doesn't need to go any further, you know. That's
what I would... Yes, ma'am. And, you know, I just want to reiterate what Teddy Pendergrass said. Think you better let it go. Looks like another love. TKO.
Praise
you to Allah. I just want to tell you again, Brother Kareem, you know, our brothers, you brothers, you know, I don't care how the world views you, the rest of the world views you. I don't care how many challenges you face out there. I don't want anyone to forget or be mistaken about how I believe most of us as MGT, as women, feel about you brothers. You all are the backbone of our nation. I don't care how society has tore you down. And just like we don't have to tolerate any mess or any confusion or just anything crazy, you brothers don't have to tolerate that either, because you are just as valuable as the MGT. We can't build a nation without you, just like you all can't build a nation without us. It takes
That's all right. Of
us working together collectively, and we have to have that love and respect for one another. And if we don't have that, then we don't have good, wholesome relationships and courtships. So it's not written anywhere for you to have to take myths. That's all. I wanted to say on that.
Sister Queen Aziza, may I read something that the Holy Quran says to the believers? And it's
yes,
Surah 61, the rank, verse 2 and 3. And it says, O you who believe, why say you that which you do not? It is most hateful in the sight of Allah that you say that which you do not. So Allah is showing you right there, brother, that is very hateful to him. And if it's hateful to him, it should be hateful to us. So that's what I would end
with. Sister Queen, may I ask something?
Go ahead.
Yes, please. I was just thinking, you know, he was saying, you know, not just the decision-making part, but how is it in the mindset of the MGT? And I was just thinking, it could be a I'm scared thing, you know. I want to go for it, but, you know, she may have a insecurity, or maybe something wasn't completely secure for her. You know, maybe he's shown that she's worthy, but maybe there's an insecurity that he didn't touch on yet, or they haven't really touched on yet. So maybe she could be scared to move forward. and, you know, maybe there's something else that could be missing that she's looking, now that she's showing that she's a little afraid to move forward, she's looking for him to, you know, kind of give her security in another area or something. I'm just trying to give something different besides the, oh, she's just playing games and that's just what it is. You need to leave, you know, fight or flight type thing. It could be a, sometimes it's when we don't fully know ourselves sometimes. So we could be in it with good intentions and want to be married and want to get there, but some things we aren't faced with until we reach a certain point, or it's like, wow, this brother's really serious, or, you know, things of that nature could come up where I didn't know that I had this fear of marriage or commitment, or, you know, I have a weakness in this area and I wasn't faced with it until now, but how do I tell him? Or, you know, different things like that could take place. So maybe there's a lack of communication in a certain area, or, you know, I'm just trying to think of something besides the you know, it's just over. She's just playing games. You know, it could look like she's playing games, but there could be something going on spiritually with that sister.
Okay. Well, you know what? I'm glad you said that, because we're gonna take some more questions and we're gonna get back to that question. I'm gonna ask that question after what you said, Sister Yatira. Okay.
Yes.
We have a question for Sister Ruth.
Sister Nadira wants to know, let me go back to it. She wants to know, could you expound on what it means to make God your husband?
Mm.
Yes, ma'am. And that is Muslim girl in training. And everything that we've been taught in the Nation of Islam is to fall in love with Allah and to make him, you know, our husband by, you know, I would say that, you know, we're taught that you can't love God more than you love yourself. So it starts with loving yourself. You know, love yourself first. And when you show love for yourself, then you're showing love for God. And that's where it begins. So if you love yourself, you're not going to do anything to yourself that either is going to cause you harm, that's going to, you know, take you out, that's going to take you out of your character, whether it's physically, emotionally, you know, spiritually. You're going to do everything to preserve your beautiful self, you know, and I believe that that's where it starts, is learning to fall in love with yourself, knowing your value as the black woman. You know, when we were given the lessons, who is the original man? Original woman. Who is the original woman? The original woman is the Asiatic black woman. She is the maker. I'm talking about, this woman is the maker, the owner, the queen of the planet Earth, goddess of the universe. I mean, just with that first, you know, student enrollment that we've been given, that right there tells us so much about who this black woman is. And when she sees herself in that light, meaning that everything came from her, that she is the goddess of the universe. She has power. And the minister said the woman is so powerful, but we don't see the power that we have. We don't use our power in the right way. You know, and that's what, to me, that's where it begins, is that when we learn to love ourselves and we know who we are, Sister Queen, then that's when we know we love Allah so much that we don't allow no one to bring us down, because we know who we are. You know, I mean, my husband will tell you that I don't, you know, he don't have to tell me, baby, you getting overweight. you eating too much. You know, I look at myself and I say, you know what, Sister Ruth? You know, you need to fast. You know, mm-hmm. I motivate myself. I don't need no one. See, that's when you start learning to love yourself, you become your own motivator. You motivate yourself. You don't need no one to motivate you. You carry the Spirit of Allah because you know that He is your maker. He is your creator. You know, so I think that that's when we as women go wrong, is that when we don't really know our proper, you know, when we don't have the proper knowledge of ourselves and we don't love ourselves, is when we, you know, mistreat ourselves and when we harm ourselves, you know. So I think that that's where it begins. And I'm going to read what Isaiah says in chapter 54, verse 5. And it says, "For thy maker is thy husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and thy redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, shall he be called. So he right there, he's telling us he is our husband. So when you got God as your husband, what kind of wife is you going to be to that type of husband? You know, so that's what I would say, is that fall in love with yourself, know your value, and know that, you know, Allah has a mighty reward for you. You know, make him your husband. And watch and see all the blessings that your husband will bestow on you. So that's what I would say to Sister Nadira.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. Thank you, Sister Ruth. And Sister, and let me do this. I'm sorry. Now, the phone lines some more lines are opening. So those of you who are joining us by phone, if you have a question, press 1 on your dial pad. The rest of you who are all jammed up in the chat room, y'all can type in your questions, and I pray I get to them tonight. And what I'm going to do, since there were some people that I called because they couldn't get on the line, I'm going to give them an opportunity to ask a question if they have one. They may or may not. So I'm going to go to my little brother, Hakeem Rashid Muhammad. Do you have a question or a comment for us, Brother Hakeem Rashid Muhammad? Brother Rashid?
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, little brother. How are you, sir?
Praise be to Allah. I'm fine by Allah's grace. I didn't know you was going to put me on point, sis. But,
well, you can press 1 on your phone because I called you in, so I just wanted to check with you to see if you had a question. Do you have a question? If you don't have one, make up one up right quick.
No, ma'am. I do have a question. My question is, first allow me to greet all the sisters and everyone that's listening with the greeting words of peace. As-salamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum
salam, sir.
Praise be to Allah. It's in the name of Allah, the beneficent, the merciful. My question is, you know, in being single, many will come, but I ask you, sister, this question. Do you believe that there was a particular one that was made exactly and just for you? That's my question.
Okay. All right. Let's hear from Sister Layla. Sister Layla, you want to take old Brother Rashid's question?
Oh, yes, ma'am. Yes, sir, Brother Rashid. That's a deep question, and I think it's one that we all kind of struggle with, or even ask ourselves that question in our own minds. But, you know, honestly and personally, I don't. Like, I believe that if you meet someone, and if I met a FOI and we were compatible and we complimented each other and everything, I believe it can work, but I don't necessarily believe there's one complete soul in this world that's just meant exactly for me. But, you know, it could happen. So I'm really not sure either way. But I believe in marriage is, you know, hard work. You work at it every day, and you do the best with, you know, the tools you've been given. And hopefully we all find that person who loves us like we deserve to be loved and vice versa. And like Cecilia Tier was saying earlier, we're all given 100%, and that will eventually become my soulmate because we're trying to become one with Allah.
Praise be to Allah. Praise be to Allah.
All right, Sister Yatira, you got an answer for Brother Rashid?
Now you know I do.
Go ahead, ma'am.
Yes, emphatically yes. I believe that not because I'm getting married, because I've been in relationships and I've been with people who, we're compatible, you know, you're cool for me, I'm cool for you, we get along, we fight, we make up, cool. But my relationship with Brother Frank, I have experienced something that's completely new. And in that is, you know, to me, what a soulmate and one who is perfect for you is someone who is that mirror for you. You know, not someone where, you know, we just get along and it's fine, but someone who can bring out, you know, your better qualities, someone who can bring out the demons in you that, you know, you're able to face. And just personally speaking, you know, I've been in relationships where people have told me, you know, you when it comes to communication, I can be a hard person to deal with. Or, you know, just trying to give examples, this is something that I have a problem with you. Okay, so I can hear it from different people, cool, you know, I hear you telling me, but with Brother Frank, it's like when things that I have been told about myself, whether it be from a mother, in a relationship, any kind of relationship with him, it's like not only do I see it, because I could have seen it then, but the desire to change it or to be better, because no one can change you, but when you're with that person where you know, just makes you want to be better. You know, I could not ever want to cook. And somebody could tell me, you know, you don't never cook. Okay, yeah, I hear you, but that's still not making me want to do it. But it's like what you bring to me or what you bring out of me is really, because the ultimate goal is become one with Allah. So my soulmate is helping me battle through, you know, help me with the struggles within myself. I'm helping him with the struggles within himself. You know, together we're doing this thing together. We're also compatible, you know, we get along. We, of course, you know, we may bump heads, but I could talk all day about how he has changed and helped me, but I just believe that it's possible because things that you may not be willing to do with someone else, when you're with that one who makes you want to, you know, any other time, I'm not cleaning up on a Wednesday. But just because of who they are and how much you care, it's like, I got to do better. This is no longer about me. When I can really become selfless and, you know, I can be with anyone who's compatible with me, but they may not bring out of me that full love that I'm capable of. But on him, it's like, no, I'm coming out of my own comfort zone because this is where I'm going to meet him at that 100-way mark. In order for us to put in that work, I have to come out of my comfort zone, but I may be with somebody else who, you know, it's like, yeah, I'll meet you here, but I ain't going to meet you there, or it may take you to really have to fuss at me, or we may have to go through all these things for me to change, but I think that when you meet your soulmate, it's like there's certain things that you don't have to battle or force and bash out of your significant other. So I'm sorry that I took too long an answer, but yes, I believe it. Yes.
Allah, what
God. You sound like a woman in love. My goodness. I'm talking to my brother Frank and ask him, what has he done to my little queen? Okay.
Sister Gidget.
Yes, Gidget, sir.
May I very quickly say this? The reason I proposed that question, sister. Yes, ma'am. The reason I proposed such a question, I've been married, I'll be 2 years here in June, and I know when I met my wife, you know, when God, in the scripture, it said that man fell asleep, and God took his rib. He didn't say he took his rib, plural. He took his rib. And when I met my wife, the first conversation that we had, when we got ready to get off the phone, I said to the sister, Queen, I'm going to put this paperwork in because that's just what we do. But you're going to be my wife. This not going to be a long process because I was in love with that sister. When I talked to that sister, not do we have just, it wasn't a verbal conversation. We spoke to each other's soul, and yeah. I knew that I had found my rib. And since being married to this sister, of course, it's not easy. And anyone that's on the phone that has been married or that's married, it's not always easy. A lot of days I don't like the sister. Praise be to Allah. But I am so crazy in love with this sister because I found my rib. So, I mean, I just wanted to share that. And I thank you, sisters, for trying to, I mean, for asking the question. Assalamu alaikum.
Oh my goodness. I am so happy for Brother Rashid. I remember that day like it was yesterday. Okay. All right. Thank you, Brother Rashid. Okay. Let me ask Sister Tanja. Sister Tanja, did you have a question? Area code 708. Okay, I guess not. Okay, we do have some questions in the chat room, but I want to go to another talking point before we leave. And I really want the FOI to participate. And I hope Brother Stanley can hear me, and I think Brother Kareem, your mic is on. You know, just to share where I'm coming from. Everybody wants the best in their relationship, in their marriage. Everybody goes into their marriage, I believe, with the intent on staying married forever. A lot of things happen during the courtship that we oftentimes overlook because, for the lack of a better expression, or either just putting it out there the way it is, sometimes we're so anxious and so desperate. And that's just the truth. It's unfortunate, but it is the truth that we will overlook something. And we'll even justify something. And I'm speaking along the lines of maybe verbal abuse, hot-temperedness, neglect. And these are just some of the issues that I have encountered with some people who have gotten married, and when I ask them, what did you see prior to courtship, now they're reflecting back. And so I'll give you one good example, and then I'm going to go to Brother Stanley and Brother Kareem. There's a sister who was in courtship, got engaged, got married. During the courtship, he acted as though he was very fond of her children, very attentive. Their father was absent out of their lives, so he made it as if he was going to come in and step in and take on this role. And then a couple weeks later, you know, started kind of like being neglectful, children getting on his nerves, you know, they need to go in their room, they need to be quiet, they need to go outside, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, you know, well, how much time did you observe this brother with your children? And she said, a lot. So I said, well, had he ever been around children before? She said, he has four children of his own. I said, well, how does he act with his children? She said, well, I've never met them. So I said, okay. Do they live out of state? You know, is there a reason why? She says, no. So things like that, you know, if you're not spending time with your children, you're not trying to, and if there is an issue where, say, for instance, there's some court issues or whatever, you're not fighting for your children, to me, and maybe it's just me, it's just a telltale sign that he might not be the best father for your children if you have children already prior to the marriage. So those are things that I'm talking about. And there are things about men that maybe men only can see looking from the outside in that we as women, we'll just kind of let go by because we want to get married, and we'll just dismiss some things. So I want to ask Student Minister Stanley, if he would, can you just give us a few things, Student Minister Stanley, that we may need to be more observant about a man so we can know some of the warning signs of when not to continue a relationship, courtship, I'm sorry.
Well, that's a great question. And me having seven daughters, and they always wanting to get involved in a relationship, not asking the right questions, focusing on the superficial, he's cute, you know, he talks good. You know, they look at all the so-called positive things about that person, which conjures up emotions that blind you to the real hardcore questions that men should have. Certain attributes that is very important for the security of a woman, because the nature of a woman to be made secure. And in the book, The Teachings 2.0, the Twitter sayings of the Honorable Minister Farrakhan, there was a question asked to the minister, and I want to share his answer. Exactly what is a right question to ask in courtship? The Honorable Minister Farrakhan answered, ask the questions that will cause you to know the person better. In a court of law, questions are asked to find the truth, that those in a jury can make the right decision. Getting to know each other through raising the questions that will get us to know each other will hopefully help us make right decisions when we choose a mate. So I just read on Facebook, this brother just got released from prison. He did 25 years, you know, accused of murder that he did not commit. He just got released. Got vindicated. But the jury, they sentenced this brother to 25 years in prison or to life in prison. Sometimes it takes place because there's biasness. It's an all-white jury. Sometimes it's not necessary, it's not the right necessary information for the jury to get the full truth, like the sister didn't even know the brother's children, didn't even have the spirit to ask. Why didn't she ask? It's your children. Let me talk to the mother of your children to see what she says, how you relate to your children. Then I will have an understanding how you relate to mine. But there's a falsity of courtship and the reality of marriage is equivalent.
Yes,
because every criminal can go in court who's a murderer, and he can cleanly shave, put a nice suit on, and look civilized and look like he won't harm a fly. But his job is he's dressing that way because he wants to sway the jury. And women always got to remember when a man approaches them on the first day or the second day, when he's trying to get you to give him what he wants, he always is going to flatter you. People flatter you because they want something from you. And once he gets something from you, he begins to change. Not change like he's different. No, he's being himself. Now he's being his real self. But while he's flattering you, that's the falsity. He tells you what you want to hear. He's not telling you the truth necessarily in most cases. So it's your job to look behind the words and deal with the facts. And there's one strike against every woman, most women, not every woman, but most women. The queen, you know what that strike is?
Oh, no, I don't.
You don't know? Well, let's talk about that.
I don't know.
The major mental blockage of women to find the right man, they always are seeking validation from a man.
Oh.
Seeking validation from, if a man say you look beautiful, oh, that's all he got to say. See? Seeking his approval, seeking his attention. Not God's attention, but you want a man's attention. And as soon as a man gives you a little attention, you think that he loves you. That's not necessarily love. Love is measured by duty. The man ain't taking care of you. He ain't paying your bills yet. You're in courtship. You have not even given the man an opportunity to prove himself if he loves you or not. So you can't even talk about he loves you in courtship. You don't know. Love is seen in marriage, not courtship. Now, you might say, I believe in love at first sight. That happens, but very seldom. But how do you measure love at first sight? See? Because there is spiritual compatibility.
Mm-hmm.
For example, love at first sight is the most honorable Elijah Muhammad and Master Farah Muhammad on a spiritual level.
Right.
They were born each other. How do you know? Because he saw in Master Farah Muhammad what no one else saw. He saw his proper identity. And he saw himself being compatible in that second self of Master Farah Muhammad. And he proved that in the 3.5 year of courtship. He proved himself. The same way with Moses and Aaron, you see the compatibility. Because what one lacks, you know what that man lacks? His soulmate. Moses had a stammering tongue. Aaron was eloquent in speech. They both were compatible. And that's another subject, how you find, you know, out if this person is your soulmate. That's love at first sight. That can happen. But this is something that we should not deal with as a criterion. We should use a courtship principles as a criterion, because some women, they psych themselves out, Sister Queen.
Hmm.
And they use these any a man open a door for them. They get psyched out, man, this man loved me. Because she probably never had a man open the door for her before. Might have been the first time a man took her out to an expensive restaurant. Maybe she used to men taking her to Burger King, but this man took her to a 5-star restaurant. Now she thinks she's in love. See, it's easy to deceive a woman that's insecure. Rape and abuse makes a woman insecure, and when she's actually been harmed and tampered with and damaged by the men of this world, she starts doing things to lower her self-worth. Having sex before marriage lowers a woman's self-worth. Every time you engage in a sexual act without commitment, caring, and sharing, Honorable Mistress Farrakhan said in a Torch Light for America, page 99, start with page 99, it lowers a woman's self-worth. So if you don't view yourself, like my wife said, as the original black woman, if you don't view yourself the way God views you, then you've already walked in a relationship with a strike against you. Any man that flatters you can win your heart. And he can just deceive you with flattery. And then you wind up getting the marriage, you wonder, well, you know, he ain't right, he talked bad about me, and you did this to me. Well, you had the red flag in the courtship. Your mama told you, your daddy told you he's no good, but you look past that. You justify every, you know, negative characteristic of this man because you're so desperate. It's like these people that bought these homes knowing it was a predatory lending loan. They knew it, but they've been in the apartment all their life. And they see this big, beautiful home. They didn't care what the terms and conditions was. The Lord blessed me with this home, Sister Queen. Call everybody, look what the Lord blessed me with. But when that mortgage rate changed after a year or so, and it tripled, I thought the Lord blessed you with this home. Why are you now in a shelter? And that's the same principle. When you ain't had something for so long and you desire it, the more you don't have it, the more a person desires sometimes. And that desire gets so strong that it can turn into desperation. So any man that says any good thing, oh, don't let him have big muscles and look good. Have a little money. Huh? You sure enough think you would have it. But he's a player. But you don't care because you think all he sees is you. See? Because your mind playing tricks on you because you're so desperate. And you believe everything this man says. And when you get into the marriage part, that's when reality sets in. Mm. And that's why you always should have, a sister should have some male member of her family that really loves her and loves God above everything to guide her in that relationship. A minister, a father, particularly a father, a good lover, a good father. Now. Always, Dad, what you think about him? Don't make no, like my wife said, don't make no decision right then. Find out what the man who's been loving you all your life, he put a roof over your head, your father now. He's been feeding, clothing you, sheltering you, spiritually taking care of you like Zacharias did to Mary. Mary knew Zacharias loved her. Why wouldn't Mary not ask Zacharias what he thinks? If that man don't look like Zacharias, Mary don't need him. If that man don't look like Farrakhan, you don't need him. And for the Christians, if that man don't look like Jesus, you don't need him. Hmm. And that is the standard that every man that comes into your life should try to measure themselves up to. That's how you should be measured. Farrakhan is a measuring rod of a good man. If you want a good man, you study Farrakhan, sisters. Every sister should be dissecting Farrakhan. Like in that science class, you dissect frogs. Well, you spiritually should dissect Farrakhan. What makes this man tick? Why is he like that? Learn his mannerism. Learn his spirit. Fall in love with everything about Farrakhan. If that man is not trying to be like Farrakhan, you don't need him. You don't need them because you're going to wind up being abused and unhappy. And then you're going to make our young girls coming behind you hate relationships, hate men. Because you have daughters. You have nieces that look up to you and they love you. And when they see a man hurt you, they don't see that one man. They see that one man is all men. And that's how we got lesbian on the rise. I'm getting another subject. But anyway, thank you for allowing me to share.
Okay. All right. Brother Stanley brought it on. Okay. Now, Brother Frank, I see you, beloved. I'm coming to you. But Brother Kareem, I want to ask you, What are some of the things that maybe we as women will overlook?
and will accept. That should be a warning sign for us to not move forward in the courtship.
Well, first and foremost, I have to say I agree with my brother, Student Minister Stanley Muhammad, 100%. And what I would refer to in what he was talking about, I mean, all of those niceties, I mean, that's fine, opening the door and being courteous and compliments, all those things are fine. However, like you said, this is a courtship, so this is a fact-finding mission. And honestly, when you look into the scripture, nowhere in the scripture does it tell us to be nice to one another. It speaks of us being kind. And in kindness, kindness isn't always pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
One of the first things that you got to look for is honesty. First and foremost, individual has to be honest. As it was mentioned, as you were talking about, yeah, I mean, you definitely want to know how does a man relate to his own children. That's going to give you a basis as to how he will relate to your children. But like I said, when we talk about that word kind, what happens is usually in the courtship, and this has been mentioned over and over, but the individual, both individuals have their best face on, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all about being nice. Well, if you look up that word nice, to be nice means to be a fool. And I'm not going to go off into the whole definition. Look it up. Check the history of the word out. You'll see. It's not about being nice. Again, like I said, it goes back to being kind. Some of the things you got to look for, just as Brother said, we got a yardstick. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. You know? I mean, that doesn't mean that the individual is going to have his personality. However, the way that the minister conducts himself, the way that the scripture says a righteous man is supposed to conduct himself, you know, red flags are this. Any brother that wants to go against the courtship rules in the courtship, no. Excuse my language, kick that nigga to the curb. All right, till he get it together. That's just reality. We don't have time to play. We don't have time to play. That's what the rules are. That they are there. They are there to protect us. My mother said this to me a long time ago. Because individuals were complaining about the restrictive law. The restrictive law is there to protect us. It's not there to keep us from having fun, unless you're talking about fun in the negative sense, which is the foolish use of your nature. Other things that the sisters got to watch out for is he performing his duty at the mosque? Also, how does he actually treat you as a human being? I mean, is the individual condescending? You know, a lot of individuals will be condescending, but they want to play it off as, oh, ha, ha, he, it's a joke. It's not a joke. We're not condescending to one another. Not only watch his language, watch his behavior with other believers, watch his behavior when you're in public together, watch his behavior with everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Bottom line is, if the individual is not striving to practice what we have been taught, then he's suspect. Now, I understand that none of us is flawless. No. However, you can tell when an individual is faking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's just the bottom line. You can tell when they're faking. You know, and sisters know when I'm not going to get that raw. Anyway, sisters know when the individual is trying to sneak up on the jewels, okay? All right. But while he playing righteous. See, all those kind of things, red flags, you know.
Yeah.
However, if the individual is, like I said, however, I agree with Student Minister Stanley Muhammad 100%. We have a living example right in front of us. The individual is moving in a manner like the minister moves. if he's moving as the Quran says, if he's moving as we have in all these teachings we have in the lessons, following the rules, then it can work because the results are there because the individual is actually putting all the evidence on the table. And see, even one who's trying to fool you is going to put the evidence on the table. Matter of fact, I would say most people can fool you for 90 days. After 90 days, it's just something about it, the real them just have to come out. They can't hold it no more. Mm-hmm. You start peeking through. So that would be, like I said, it's really not a lot I can add to what Student Minister Stanley Muhammad said, but that would be it right there. Watch their behavior. As-salamu
alaykum. Yes, sir.
Queen, can I say one more thing real quickly? I'm not going to be long.
Okay.
And I want to say this,
okay,
that when a man is in courtship with a sister, a brother with a sister, if his language begins to degrade, that's a serious red flag. Like, for example, you at night talking, he asks you what you wearing. That should be a red flag.
That's right.
Dang, you look good when I saw you today. What is that? You know, that's not the right grammar. See? Then he might say, Sister Queen, he might start talking about sex.
Mm-hmm.
Sex, that should not even be a conversation. But if the sister is not strong in God, she's going to be lured. If you're a carnal-minded woman, you're going to just get caught in the spider's web. That's it. So courtship is a real good, is a test from God to see if you're a real woman of God. Because you got wolf in sheep clothing, as Brother Student Minister Kareem so beautifully put. Even the sons of God didn't even know they was hanging out with Satan.
Uh-oh.
God had to call them out. And if you are not in the mind of God, easy for you to fall in love with Satan, thinking you fall in love with a righteous man. Even the sons of God lost the spiritual discernment because something they were doing that wasn't right. So everything that we're doing, if sisters are riding around, listen to rap music that's degrading women, huh? Okay, now talk to me now. You listen to Lil Wayne, Gucci Man, and whatnot in a garment. Talking about dropping like it's hot, but then when you get to the mosque, you know, you turn off and put fire collar on, get sanctimonious. But as soon as the Sunday meeting's over, you take your headpiece off, put it in your purse, and put Gucci Man on, put Lil Wayne on, or put Trick Daddy back on, or 2 Chainz. And but yes, so you go on the court, you're talking about you want to write these
names. How do you even know all them people?
I'm in Charles Park. I got to know all them people. I'm in Charles Park.
Come on.
I'm in Atlanta, Georgia, so you know I know. But my point is, Sister Queen, is that you sisters got to understand that there's a preparatory spiritual detox that a lot of sisters got to go through before they go on the courtship.
Yes, sir. And Brother Stanley, hold on, because I want to get to Brother Frank. He's been holding a long time.
You know we
got his future wife on the phone, so I better let him in before we see another side of Brother Frank. So,
no, let me see it.
Hey, Frank.
As-salamu alaykum, Brother Frank.
As-salamu alaykum, family.
How are you?
I'm doing fine by the grace of Allah. Getting off work right now.
Oh, praises due to Allah. You got a question or some advice for us since you're about 16 days away from being a married man?
yes, ma'am. First, I wanted to tell Sister Yatira, I heard what she said about me, and that was beautiful. But my question is, when it comes to marriage, how do you, I've always been taught that brothers don't move to sisters and brothers don't take sisters. So when you're married, how do you, correct your queen on her MVP-ness, I guess you can say, what's going on with her and being an MVP without trying to be her captain or without being rude about it, but, trying to keep her in line, not coming off like you know, her lieutenant now, but, being able to come in line and say, what's the best way to do that? That way she doesn't get offended. Brothers don't move the soldiers, but at the same time, helping her keep up with, staying in line with the guidelines and helping her continue to grow without coming in, without making her feel like you are trying to be her captain or trying to cross the lines when it comes to training.
Okay. Well, let me go to Sister Layla, and then we go to Sister Ruth. I'm not going to let your future bride answer that because I'm going to get y'all across that broom if it kills me. I'll let her answer last. So, Sister Layla, you want to advise Brother Frank, who's trying to get married in 16 days, please don't give him nothing that's going to mess it up for him.
Right, can he repeat the question? I'm sorry, I wasn't clear on what he wanted to know.
He just want to know how can you redirect or issue a point of correction without sounding so demanding and controlling, and especially when you're talking about the seven units of the MPC. How do you check your sister? That's what he
right,
wanted to know.
Right. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Brother Frank, MGT, we be real defensive when it comes to our units or brothers trying to tell us
that's
something.
Right.
But we have to, like they said, the minister said, measuring that yardstick, that measuring rod. So when he always chastises us or tries to correct us, we just know as human beings, anytime someone brings us something, we're automatically defensive in a corner with our dukes up ready to fight. And we could be dead wrong, but we're already defensive. So the minister, what he does is he always, gives us, what do they say, sugar with our vinegar. He always, builds us up like, yes, Queen, yes, that bean soup was just the best thing since sliced bread. And, next time, maybe easy on the salt or let's try this. Or, you have to give suggestions, not in so much firm resolutions where it might offend us, but giving suggestions in a kind manner and offering solutions. So it's one thing to point out something like, aren't you supposed to be sewing? You don't know, isn't that one of your seven units? Or how about buying her a sewing machine and, rent her some DVDs or something? Just give it in a way of a suggestion, I would say.
Okay. Sister Ruth.
Yes, ma'am. I would say to the brother, study proper handling of people by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad,
That's
because
right.
It teaches us how to communicate. And like the sister said, that a lot of times, and that's even male and female, when we're told, something that we should already know, or when we're reminded of what we should be doing and not doing, there's a defense that comes up, and that has something to do with pride. Don't want to be wrong or don't want nobody to tell us, what to do or, but the proper handling of people is the best solution, to be able to, give it to her in the best of manner. And when she argues with that, with truth, she's not arguing with you anymore. She's arguing with Allah. So, if you do it in that manner, it might be a hard pill to swallow, but if, she loves Allah, pill, sorry, but if she loves Allah and she loves, Islam, she will definitely submit, And one thing I could say about my husband that, sometimes when he pointed out things, and it's because of my love for Allah, my love for Islam, that, humble me to submit to what he said, So when truth speaks, we submit, So that's what I would say to the brother is, definitely proper handling of people. And as sisters, we do not like no screaming brothers, no brothers, you know, hollering at us. That's
right.
Just the nature of the woman, you know. I mean, sometimes, you know, the man got to be firm, because the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, well, through the Honorable Mrs. Farrakhan, if you can't control the woman, you cannot protect her. And sometimes, you know, you might have a wild stallion, not saying that she's one, but we do got them out here. And you need you need one of them original riders to my husband say with the fur. you know, a black, I'm telling you, man, when you have a black man that's so consumed with God, it's just something about that black man that God in him just makes you submit. Even when you don't want to, just your pride, you know, you just want to be proud.
Right.
But it's the God in him that just makes you bow, you know, and that's what we love. We love strong black men that love God, that have the spirit of God, not just talk God, but walk God. And I think that's why, you know, like the minister said, don't think these sisters are obeying you. They're obeying the God in you, you know. So when you have that characteristics, when you are following, you know, the head, which is God, then you're going to have her in check, brother, you know, and you just, you know, put that God spirit on her, like that holy water on faith. I mean, we can't do nothing but to melt, you know, so I know because I experienced it with my husband. He just melts. He melts me when he starts talking God, so. Yes,
another
mushy
couple, y'all.
Sister Queen, I got to say something, Brother Frank. Sister Queen, I got to say something, Brother Frank. You got 16.
We lost Brother Frank, but go ahead, and we'll make him come back and listen. Yes, sir. Go ahead, Brother Stanley.
You know why they call the woman the bride and the man the groom? A bride is a horse.
Oh,
did you know
yeah,
that?
Like a bridle. Yeah, like a bridle. Yes, sir.
And did she walk down the bridle? You know, horses buck.
Yes, we do.
Every woman.
Don't
bucks.
You do it.
Every woman.
Don't you do it, Brother Stanley.
Wait a minute. Wait. I got to be honest now. The Honorable Mrs. Farrakhan said that every woman's nature is to try a man.
Oh,
you can't help yourself. You're going to try us. You can't even help yourself. Your nature is to push our button. You would already know that. But the man has to be like Billy Pickett. He got to know how to groom. A groom is one who knows how to manage and take care of that horse, who knows how to ride those bucks and calm the buck and then direct that horse down the bridle's path. And put blinders on that horse that the horse only see him. The only way that woman can put blinders on and only see her husband, that man got to have the Spirit of God.
That's it.
That's it. You got to have the Spirit of God.
And Sister Ruth is bad witness like it's legal. Okay.
Well, it's legal in this house, I'll tell you that. It's legal in this house. But I'm just saying that you have to understand that the reason why the woman's nature is to try and test a man is only trials and tests that a man goes through that brings him closer to God.
Mm-hmm.
God put it in her. You can't help yourself. That's why you always, and if he's not qualified to ride you, then you're going to throw the rider. You don't want a weak man.
Mm-mm. Right.
You see? And that's why, you know, that it describes a woman as a horse. A horse is the most intelligent beast of the field. We're taught by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And so
Yes, sir. You
got to be honest. When a man sees his wife bucking and testing him, is God using her to test him and to make sure that he's learned the lesson from the lesson of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad? See, we can't just read it and not be tested and tried. And that's why the woman is so invaluable. The woman is the doorway to become a god. Ain't no way you can become a god without going through the door of the woman. She is the door to God. Ain't no man can be a god without a woman. And so when a man talks about, I want to be a god, no single brother can be a god. You'll never be a god single. Impossible.
You better change.
Mathematically impossible. You'll always be on the level of men. And the real gods will always rule you because you don't have a woman.
Come on.
And if you have a woman, that woman's going to bring out those god qualities in you through trials and tests. You can't be no god without going through difficulty. God has to overcome the darkness of the universe to bring himself into existence. That was difficult. So I'm just saying is that I just wanted to say that, yes, you know, women are going to test a man, and that's her nature. There's nothing wrong with that. And when the man says it's always her mouth, well, the only reason why she's talking like that is because she's not secure. An insecure woman is made that way by a man that's default in duty. Because there's no heaven outside the black woman. But what can give heaven to the queen you know can give hell. And if she's giving the man hell, he's not doing his job. That's all I wanted to say. Thank you for allowing me to share.
Okay.
Oh, praise is due to Allah. Okay, queens, my sisters, we are over time as usual, but I want to give each of you an opportunity to, if you can, give your best advice to your sisters about courtship. And I'm going to start with you, Sister Yatira. 16 days away from jumping the broom. What's your best advice to your sisterhood?
Yes, ma'am. Almost 15, but moving on. be patient. And be patient and seek refuge in Allah. I mean, literally, communicate with Allah. Allah got me where I'm at today. That's all I say. So, patience is so important, and study yourself and study, period, you know, study, and in you seeking that patience, you know, pray, be patient, and, you know, prepare yourself, prepare your mind, you know, for what it is that you're saying that you want. And, I mean, I think that was the key for me, you know. Prayer and patience was key for me and studying myself and really preparing. So, I mean, don't settle. Be patient. Truly learn, know, understand your value. And, you know, leave it in Allah's hands. We don't believe in the spook God. So, I mean, you know, don't just, we got to keep it real. At the same time, don't just expect him to come out of thin air, or God just going, you know, we got to keep our eyes open at the same time, but communication with Allah, prayer and faith, that's what I have to say.
All right, thank you, Queen. And Sister Layla?
Yes, I think the advice I have is basically just to know yourself, study yourself, to be honest with yourself and the potential courtmate, and you know, it's, in the simplest terms, is, you know, I can say it, just really study and improve on yourself and know what you want, because you can't make a good conscious decision without knowing what it is that you want in a spouse, but knowing yourself most of all.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. Okay. And Sister Ruth.
Yes, ma'am. I would say, accept your own and be yourself in courtship. You know, don't fake it, be real. You know, I mean, just don't try to hide who you are. And if that person sees value in you, they'll accept you for who you are. and then they'll get nothing but the truth, you know. So I would say just, you know, be yourself. Accept your own. What is your own? Yourself is a righteous Muslim. So as long as you're striving, you know, be yourself, you know, and don't let no one make you other than yourself. And I think that when we come to the table with honesty, then we have a better chance of, you know, being in a true relationship that can lead to a happy marriage, because that person accepted, if you, you know, dealing with a person that has, you know, because a lot of us, you know, living in America, you know, some of us have to take medication for depression, or we have to take medication for being, you know, bipolar or whatever. You know, we have to let that person know, you know what I'm saying, that I have these issues, and let that person choose whether they want to help me, you know, in those issues. So I think that just being honest, you know, is a great start.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. All right, well, let me give y'all my little two cents of advice. I would say before you seek courtship, make sure that you are twice married already. And what I mean by that is that marriage is duty and marriage is love. So if you are not yet married to self, and you are not yet married to Allah, then you are not ready to consider being married to anybody else. So be true to yourself. Keep your duty to Allah. Keep your duty to yourself. And those things will be the tools that will ready you for a marriage to someone else. Okay, that's the end of that. All right. Listen, we are over time and out of time, so let me give the line up right quick. Join us tomorrow, 8 p.m. Central, with Student Minister James Muhammad out of Tampa, Florida, for our live study group on Saturday. Join us at 8 p.m. Central for Young, Gifted, and Black. With the topic is Black Youth and Law Enforcement, so we're going to have a couple of police officers on there. They're going to tell us what they actually see on the street, in our communities. We hear about the, we see the videos, we hear the horror stories, but we're going to see what they see in our Black communities. We're going to look at it through their eyes. And then on Sunday, I forgot what we bringing, but we bringing something I forgot. And Monday, Brother Kareem, what's the topic for Monday show, Conscious Black Nation?
The topic for Monday is the fall of America.
Oh, praises to Allah. Okay. The fall of America, 8 p.m. Monday with Brother Kareem. And on Tuesday, Brother Rudolph and Sister Lachelle will be back with disaster preparedness. And on Wednesday, DJ Black Seeds and Friends will be back with the hip-hop comedy show. And on Thursday, the Queen will be back. And we're talking about courtship again, but we're talking about courtship out of control, videos, pictures, and social media. So join us. Oh, yeah. We're bringing it full circle. Yes, sir.
Come on.
Absolutely.
Right.
Next Thursday, 8 p.m. Thank you all so much for joining us. I am so sorry about the phone. I'm so sorry about not getting to your questions in the chat room. But, of course, you know, I will ask as many as I can before in the morning. So may Allah continue to bless us all with the light of understanding. We leave you as we came before you in our nation's greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum. Thank you, Sister Yatira. Thank you, Sister Layla, Sister Ruth, Brother Stanley, Brother Kareem, Brother Hakeem, all of you who called in and listened, Brother Frank. We leave you as we came before you. Assalamu alaikum. One nation, one love.
Wa alaikum salam.